Let's have a word of prayer. Oh Lord, you said that whenever we call, you will answer. And while we were still speaking, you will listen, you will hear. Father, you said that whenever you call, you're going to be there. And so, Father, right now, we are praying that your Holy Spirit be here. We prayed about this at 5:30 in the morning. Pastor Neary, Brother Charisma, and Elder Cadiz, and myself, we prayed that your Spirit would be here and that you would put a circle of protection around this sanctuary, Lord, so that your angels can protect us from the evil one. And this is because the evil one wants to make us think of different things, wants to make us think of the bills we need to pay, wants to make us think of the fight we had this morning, wants to make us think of the school maybe that our class that we're failing, wants to make us think of other things, Lord. But this is why we pray, because we need a circle of protection around our minds, around this sanctuary, Lord. And so, Father, I pray that you would do that, and not only that, but that you would open up our minds, our hearts, so that we can understand your word, so that we can be changed every day into your image. Oh Father, please do this for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Two days ago on Thursday, I was brooding and praying about the sermon I was going to preach today. All of a sudden, I get a text from Pastor Neary. And the text read that there was a shooting and a bomb threat in Collegedale, in our campus in Collegedale, Southern Adventist campus, and that the campus was on a lockdown, and that we should pray. How many of you guys knew that? Raise your hand if you knew that. Not a lot of people. We have a college, a university out in Tennessee, Seventh-day Adventist University. And I'm going to read to you guys the official news. The campus of Southern Adventist University reopened about 2:30 p.m. after a perceived threat was resolved. And this was Thursday. The two-hour lockdown came after an off-campus threat around 1 p.m. A person of interest, Southern Adventist student James Gaines, made the threat on Chattanooga State campus earlier today. He was angry that paperwork between Chattanooga State and Southern Adventist University had not gone through. Gaines mentioned using firearms and explosives on Southern Adventist campus because of this. And so one of the persons called 911. There was no danger to anyone on campus, according to authorities. However, students were handcuffed in a number of residency rooms. Apparently, there was a lot of rumors. They were saying that there was actually a shooting. An initial report of shots fired is described as a misunderstanding. A firearm has not been located, and Gaines seemingly never made it to Southern Adventist campus from Chattanooga State College. Police say they are working with Hamilton County Sheriff's Office, and Gaines is being detained in Collegedale. I want to tell you that if today you are here alive and moving, it's because you're very special to God. And God thinks very highly of you, and He loves you, and He's protected you this week. Did you know that on Tuesday there was another lockdown at another university in the United States? This is the University of Purdue. How many of you guys have heard of the University of Purdue? Very recognized for engineering. I live not too far away from Purdue. I'm from Chicago, as many of you know. And so on my way to Andrews University, I used to see the exit, you know, that said Purdue University. A gunman shot and killed another man Tuesday inside Purdue University's electrical engineering building, spurring worried students to scramble into the bitter cold outside for safety. The Indiana school's police chief said that the suspect appeared to have had one target in mind. He left a building right after the shooting, and a city police officer arrested him. Purdue Police Chief John Cox identified the victim as Andrew Bolt, a 21-year-old senior from West Bend, Wisconsin, who also worked at the school as a teaching assistant. The suspect is Cuddy Cousins, a 23-year-old student in Purdue's College of Engineering, who now is booked on a preliminary charge of murder, according to the police chief. I want to remind you that if today you are moving, if today you are here and breathing, if you were able to open your eyes today, it is because God really loves you. And many times we take this for granted and we say, oh, this happened in Tennessee. Oh, come on. This happened in Purdue, Indiana. Let's try another one. This happened Tuesday, and this is close to town. This was on Tropicana and Rainbow. Shot to death, 26-year-old Cleotis Harvey died after he was shot several times in the chest. Harvey's white door Buick crashed into two other vehicles. Police say they're sure someone knows the gunman who shot a motorist to death in a vehicle with two young children in the back seat during rush hour traffic several miles west from the Las Vegas strip. All we know is that there was some kind of altercation, and the next thing there was gunfire. Stieber said of the shooting in a little before 5:20 p.m. Tuesday. So there was this altercation, and they said something to each other, and then one shot the other. I always say this to my youth group almost every Friday as we gather together on our Vespers, that many times we oversee the blessings of God. Because that guy shot could have been any of us. Any of us could have gotten hit by a car. Any of us could have gone into some other kind of accident at work and maybe even been in the hospital in our respirator, maybe in a coma. Maybe you couldn't even be moving. But many times we oversee the blessings of God. And so I asked you, what's your attitude in coming here today? Are you thinking about all the things that are wrong in your life? Are you thinking about all the troubles? Are you thinking about all the heartaches in your life? Or are you saying, Lord, I thank you very much because I'm special to you. Now, I don't know why some things are happening in my life, but I got to tell you one thing, Lord. I know that you are working things out for me. What is your attitude today as we start this worship? What has God done for you today? Not today, but this week. I got to tell you guys, just the fact of opening my eyes every day, even if I have a terrible day, just the fact of opening my eyes tells me that Jesus loves me. And Jesus loves you too. And I want to take you to a story as we're going to brood and ponder a little bit about this whole being with Jesus. And I love doing kind of parallels in the Bible, and I love kind of going into a little part of the text and then drawing a lesson from the text. And so I'm going to invite you guys to open your Bibles. Everyone open your Bibles. I don't have a PowerPoint. I always have problems with my PowerPoints. But this forces you to bring your Bibles. Or maybe take out your iPhones or whatever. And I hope that, you know, you will be looking and following us on your phone instead of texting. And I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6. 2 Kings, chapter 6. And this is a very overlooked story in the Bible. And I want you to think for a few moments about this text. 2 Kings, chapter 6. I still hear some pages flipping, so I'm going to wait until that's over. 2 Kings, chapter 6. And we're going to be talking about a prophet. His name was Elisha. He was the one that followed Elijah. And I start 2 Kings, chapter 6. And the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, "See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan, and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place where we may dwell. I have a question for you guys, and I have a question for young people, you know, all the adventurers, pathfinders, little lambs, adults, youth, young adults. Have you guys ever been in a place where you felt crammed, where you felt tight? I don't know if there is anyone here that's a little bit claustrophobic. There you go. That's the name. I want you to think of one place where you felt really tight. I don't know if it's an elevator. You know, some elevators. Oh, boy. I remember going up the Sears Tower in Chicago. And when you want to go up that tower, you know, you have to get into this elevator. And you're basically like this, you know, and just kind of looking at people and, you know, some, you know, hoping, you know, that, you know, some people, you know, the people, you know, I guess took a shower or something. But you're basically like this and you feel really tight. I don't know if you've ever been in an airplane. You know, and some airplanes, they're just, you find all these people in really tight spaces, and sometimes, you know, you tend to say, oh man, you know, if there was an emergency here and we all had to go out running, of course, not when the airplane is in the air, but when you land or whatever, you know, if there was an emergency and you had to, like, go out running, you know, we'd all trample each other. It's so tight in there. You know, I think of the small cars, particularly in Europe. You know, Europeans, they love to save gas. They love to ride small cars. And sometimes they get this, like, 6-foot guys. You know, like 4 or 5 of them, you know, in this little Peugeots, you know, or this little Fiat or whatever. And it's like, oh, how is it that you guys do this? And Elisha was a teacher. He was a prophet. But there was a problem here. That in the school where he worked, there was not a lot of space. And so the students started complaining. The students started saying, see the place where we dwell with who? With you. This is going to be a key word here. See the place where we dwell with you. See our university, our little school where we dwell with you is too small for us. And then they say, after they complained a little bit, how many of you guys like to complain? You guys like to complain about stuff? Yeah? And then they say, please, let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there and let us make there a dwelling place where we may what? Where we may dwell. Now remember, the first dwelling was we're dwelling with you. And the second dwelling is saying, we want to go into the Jordan. We want to make another house where we dwell. And that's a key word right there. Lesson number one. And these are just lessons that I draw out of this text. And I just want to share them with you, you know, as practical lessons. I don't know if I'm talking to someone here who doesn't see the green in the grass. I don't know if today I'm talking to someone who's always complaining about their lives. I don't know if today I'm talking to someone who has a bad attitude because of the things that are happening to them. Now these guys, they were with the prophet. They were in a small place, but they were with the prophet. And they said, oh, we need a bigger place. Maybe there's someone here who doesn't have that much money. Yes, you're right, but you're healthy, we hope. You can move. You have a roof over your head. You know, there are some people that live in perpetual discontent. They're negative. They criticize everything. By the way, this is really bad when it happens in church. Because we know that there is something wrong, and by the way, I'm saying these are some practical lessons that I draw out of my own study. Let me give you an example. Young kids, do you realize that I grew up in a school that wasn't Adventist? There are some of you guys that get a chance to go to an Adventist school. There are some of you guys that get a chance to pray in your classes. And I hear sometimes, you know, and there might be, I haven't heard, that was a wrong term, but there might be some maybe complaining on the part of some people. Can you see the blessings that God is giving you? Many times we concentrate on the bad things. But do you see the green in your side? My church was about 100 people. We didn't have a Pathfinder Club. You guys get a chance to go to Pathfinders. You guys get a chance to go to Oshkosh. This church is helping you guys go to Oshkosh. That's a blessing. Now, the church is not perfect, but that is a blessing. Parents, it is a blessing to come to church. It is a blessing to have your kids in church. Are we able to see the blessings that God gives us, or do we concentrate at the end of the day at the bad things that are happening? And of course, we all have problems. But I want you to concentrate here is these people, they lost sight of who they were with. By the way, it is much better to be in church. Marlon, it is much better to be in church. Angelo, and I know I know some people are like, oh, don't say my name when I'm preaching, but I just want to connect with you guys. It is much better to be in church than to be outside. You know, many times we say, oh, well, you know, our classes are not that exciting, or, you know, our teachers, I guess, are not trained as we would want them to be trained in. But count your blessings, guys. You have people in this church that love you. You have people in this church that care about you. You have, I want to tell you something. You have leaders in this church that pray for the congregation at 6:30 p.m. every Wednesday. And on Sabbath at 5:30, right here in these four rows, you have four or five people praying for you. You are loved in this church. It could be that we're not perfect. Nothing is perfect. But I want you guys to start seeing the green around your area as well. Are you able to recognize the green in your home? Are you able to recognize the green when you wake up, when you move? Like I said, any one of us could have been shot this week. But these guys, they didn't recognize the green, and then they started complaining, and they were saying, well, we got to go somewhere else. We want more money, even though might have enough. We want more prestige, even though that's not needed. We want to have more, just for the sake of having more. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't strive for more, but what is our attitude? Is our attitude one of discontentment, perpetual discontentment? And we keep going, so he answered, go. Then one said, please consent to go with your servants. And that's going to be a key issue right there, because now we jump to a second story. Remember the first story, they want a different place to live in. Second story, verse 4. So he went with them, and they came to the Jordan, and they cut trees. Remember the first idea, hey, let's go cut trees. And then they got to the place where they wanted, where they were going to be happy according to them, and they started cutting trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe fell into the water. And he cried out and said, Alas, Master, for it was borrowed. Second practical lesson, and we're almost done here. The grass is not greener on the other side. The grass is not greener on the other side. Many times adults think, well, you know, I do have some problems with my wife and whatever. Let me see if I start looking, or maybe, you know, I start looking somewhere else. Or vice versa, let me start looking somewhere else. Maybe there is a man. Youth say, you know, church is so boring. I want to go partying. I want to be cool. I want to drink. I want to be cool. Oh, let me go and do a little drugs. I want to be cool. Oh, when you get your licenses, you guys, you know, a lot of the youth, we say, hey, let's start driving fast. Let's do Fast and the Furious. You know, that's the cool thing to do. I got to tell you one thing. The grass is not always greener on the other side. It's not. We got to start counting our blessings. And these guys, they thought, okay, we're going to go to this place. We're going to build this college or this school. And all of a sudden, and the word right there, the wood, the trees, they said, hey, let's go cut some trees and make a new school. And now these trees are creating a problem for them. And what is the problem? The problem is that as they were cutting that tree, the axe had fell on the water. I don't know if today I'm talking to someone who thought the grass was greener on the other side. And today your life is broken because the grass was not greener on the other side. Because you started letting go of Jesus. Because you started letting go of what your parents taught you. Adrian, Damien, don't ever let go of what your parents are teaching you. Don't ever let go of what Jesus teaches you. Don't ever let go of that because that is a treasure. And I say that to everyone I give Bible studies to. You guys know that I say, guys, hold on to what you believe. Hold on to what you're being taught by the Bible. Because the grass is not always greener on the other side. Because you will come out hurt. You will come out in pain. You will come out with scars. So lesson number one, see the green in your grass. At least for today, see the green in your grass. That's a practical lesson. God has blessed you. You're able to move, breathe, talk. Lesson number two, the grass is not always greener on the other side. And maybe today we have someone here who has those scars. Sadly, and I'm going to speak to the youth right now. You know, sadly, in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, our youth leave. At the age of 14, 15, they start leaving our church. Because they want, they think that the grass is greener on the other side. Sadly, they come back whenever they're 35, 40 with scars in their life. And they come back, and of course, we're happy to have you back. But think about how much you would have done if you would have stayed in church and given all the talents that you've given to the world, to Jesus. You would have done so much more in your life. The grass is not always greener on the other side. And so to finish, these two stories are linked by a petition that someone made the man of God. And this is the petition I want you to keep in your heart. Whether you are a complainer or whether you've come with scars in your life today, this is the petition that I want you to keep in your minds. Because the key of this text here is the petition that was made to the man of God, which links both stories. And so we're going to go to verse 2. 6:2. Please let us go to the Jordan, and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place where we may dwell. So he answered, go. And verse 3 says, then one said, then one of them remembered, please consent to go with your servants. He asked Elisha, teacher, master, will you come with us? Will you come with us as we go on this new adventure? Will you do it? And he said, I will go. And so verse 6, after the axe head was in the water, now check this out, because one person invited the man of God into this new adventure. Now look at what happened, because the man of God was there with them in this new place. Verse 6, so the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in the water, and he made the iron float. Therefore, he said, pick it up for yourself. So he reached out his hand and took it. Do you realize that the word wood or tree is very important in this passage? They wanted to go cut wood to make this bigger, fancier school. They get to the wood in this big, fancier school, and as they're cutting the wood, the grass is not always greener on the other side. Now they have a problem, which is the axe, which was very expensive at that time, is in the water. But I thank the Lord Because the man of God was there. Somebody actually invited the man of God to come along. And the man of God took some wood, and with that wood he threw it in. You see wood? He threw it into the water, and the axe floated. Are you inviting Jesus into your life? And now you're saying, well, what's the whole point of this Elisha and Jesus? Well, as I was reading and comparing the stories between Elisha and Jesus, because of course I'm preaching about Elisha and you're saying, well, Elisha is dead. But you know, there is a lot of comparisons between Jesus and Elisha, and I'm just going to go and go quickly through them because I want to get to a point. Did you know that both Jesus and Elisha are designated by a prophet whom the general populace recognized as a true prophet? Did you know that? Did you know that both of them received the Spirit on the Jordan or close to the Jordan? Did you know that they're both miracle workers and they give life in the land of death? Did you know that both of them cleanse lepers? Did you know that both of them heal the sick? That both of them resurrect kids? Both of them resurrect kids from widows? Did you know that Elisha multiplied oil and Jesus multiplied wine? That's right. He made the wine multiply. Did you know that both of them fed hungry people? Elisha fed 1,000. Bread and fish. And so did Jesus, 5,000. Did you know that both of them ministered to the Gentiles, especially the Assyrians in the time of Elisha? And both of them said, do you remember when Elisha said, don't kill the blind men. Don't kill them, but we're going to sit down and eat with them. They both ate with sinners. They both led captives. Do you remember when the Assyrians were blinded and then the king asked, should I kill them? And he said, no. And he led them. He led them to Samaria. And the Bible says that Jesus also led captives in the book of Ephesians 4, 7 and 8. Did you know that both of them had covetous disciples? Judas and Gesai. Did you know that both of them, and maybe I'm reminding you, but out of their tombs came life. There was a man that was dropped in the tomb of Elisha and he was revived. And Jesus came out of the tomb. Why am I telling you this? Well, Elisha is not with us anymore. But Elisha is a type of Jesus. Meaning that this story is told to us so that we can see that everything points to Jesus. And so I end with this. Are you inviting Jesus into your life every day? If Elisha is a type of Jesus, then our prayer today should be every morning, afternoon, and night, will you consent to come with your servants? And Jesus will most certainly say yes. I'm finishing with this one story and I love it. I think I told it the first time I preached here. Augustine, a great father of the faith, had a class. And he taught this class and he had a little quiz for his students. And the quiz was the following. If Jesus came down and he said, you could do, when you go to heaven, you can do anything in heaven. But there is one thing that you can't do. You can go play with the lions. You can talk to Jesus every day. I'm sorry. You can go play with the lions. You can eat from the tree of life. You can You know, the kids can probably play, you know, in the wonderful spots heaven has. You can talk to your favorite biblical hero. You can do anything you want in heaven. Even talk to an angel. Nothing is denied. But Jesus says one thing to you, and he says, but there is one thing that you cannot do while you're in heaven, and that is to see my glory. And then Augustine said that for the students that said, no, Jesus, if I cannot see you, if I cannot spend time with you, if I cannot be with you in heaven, then I don't want heaven at all. And then Augustine said that for those students that answer that, he said that they were on the right track to heaven. And I want to take it a little bit further. I don't know how your life is, but I think today what our prayer should be is, Jesus, I dare not get up every morning and invite you into my life. Jesus, I dare not get out and talk to my wife without inviting you into my life. I dare not have breakfast with my children without inviting you into my life. I dare not get out of my house without inviting you into my life to go and walk with me. I dare not go to school. I dare not take a test without inviting you into my life. I dare not come to church without inviting you into my life. Do you realize that a lot of the problems in churches and a lot of the envies in church and a lot of the resentment in church and a lot of the fights in church and a lot of the jealousy in church comes because we are not inviting the Master into our lives? But one man invited the man of God. Will you come with us? Will you come with me? Will you be a part of my life? And the man of God said, of course, I'll go. There might be someone here who needs to invite Jesus into their lives. I don't know if there's someone here who desperately needs to invite Jesus into their lives right now, because it is a matter of life and death. Your family might be at stake. Your kids might be at stake. Your job might be at stake. Will you invite Jesus into your life? Will you not make that mistake of not inviting Him into your life? And so as we finish, we're going to sing a song that Juanita sings very nicely a cappella. We're going to sing it. I want Jesus, it says, to walk with me. And as we're singing this song, I want you to, if this is your prayer, to invite Him into your life. Because if not, your life is going nowhere. And I want you to think about this, and I want you to think about inviting and saying, Jesus, please come with me. We're going to stand and sing hymn number 624.
Shit.
Let's pray. Oh Lord, we dare not even turn around and say hi to our neighbor after I say amen without asking your presence into our lives. We dare not to step foot out of this building and out of this campus without asking your presence to be with us. Oh Lord, we live in such a terrible world, a world that gives no second chances. And yet today there is someone here who's hearing this message and who is saying, Jesus, I've had it with doing it alone. Will you consent to come with me? And the man of God said, yes. Oh Lord, you see all these young people here, and a lot of them are in that age where pretty soon, or maybe already, the grass is greener on the other side. Oh Father, please walk with them if you so desire. Let them know that a career without you is a failure. Money without you is a failure. Marriage without you is a failure. Church without you is a failure. Life without you is a failure. Oh Lord, in our troubles, consent to come with us. In our joys, consent to come with us. In our plans, consent to come with us. Turn us around if we need to. And I thank you very much, because I know that today you've spoken to a heart. I know that today there is someone who's saying, I need to read my Bible more. I need to start doing my devotions. I need to start coming to church. I need to start being participating in church and not critical. I need to start looking for opportunities to serve and not bring down. I want you to walk with me. Oh Father, may this be. This is the cry of our hearts. And if it is truly the cry of our hearts, then Father, do consent to come with us. For I pray in Christ's name. Amen.